Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Good Monday afternoon.
You almost said morning, ne? Yeah.
I swear, it feels like morning.
It actually does, man. It actually does.
Look, I think it's a winter thing.
But this weather is truly kicking me sideways because I'm trying to understand, Ahmed, what is the actual...
Like whether we are in summer or winter?
It's not even that. Are we going to rain or not going to rain? Are we going to buy canoes? Are we not going to buy canoes? Because, Ahmed, I can't even ask you for advice. Do we need some sort of mode of transport? But I can't, because I'm also confused with this weather.
So the weather is behaving like the Strait of Hormuz. You don't know if it's going to open or it's going to close.
According to Donald Trump, block, unblock.
Simple man. I can't believe you're still laughing at that.
Do you know why?
It's simple economic math, dude.
Because it makes sense for him. And everyone is like, block, unblock, equals unblock. How is that possible?
Yeah, how does that work?
So so the weather is probably doing that with us. It's probably doing worse, you know, dodge, maybe. So yeah, it's good to see you guys. This is obviously the last week of April. Obviously a week in itself that also beckons quite dodgily for a lot of you that probably would be taking leave today and leave next week and leave somewhere else in between. We know you guys. We know you.
We know you have done the math.
We know you guys were looking at the calendar last week.
Yeah.
But as long as you stay tuned to us, as long as you listen to your favorite drive time duo here on your number one talk radio station, obviously what we always try to do is bring you the in-depth discussion, just like our promo and jingle says, that helps you understand the matter a lot more. I'm going to stop there with my intro.
Actually, well, it's a good thing you brought in that part of the intro, about the
making sense.
The holiday or long weekend calculations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because people were looking at the calendars. Besides, except for Dwight, because Dwight forgot.
Dude, our topic fits in very perfectly with that.
It actually does. Actually, into the course of this week.
Yeah.
Up until Thursday.
Mm-hmm. And then, on Thursday, to be talking to us and
reminding us on Friday. But don't fear, guys. Don't fear. We got you.
Yeah.
We got you. Ozeto.
And for that, now, when I say, today's home run topic, it's basically a perfect topic to have this week because it's something that, that's based on the public discussion that was held last week. And this is discussion
Friday.
Friday.
Yeah. Basically.
Yeah. That was, and the discussion was centered on Namibians who have a problem managing debt.
You know, there's, Helmut, today I'm going to play bad cop now. I'm letting you know in advance. I'm going to.
I figured from the beginning.
Specifically with that first part where the minister presented.
Yeah.
And then the Namfisa guys presented.
Yeah.
I'm going to play bad cop here because I'm going to remind you, disclaimer, and to our listeners, for some reason, these are conversations that we are supposed to have at home with our loved ones, and we are not having these conversations. Do you know why I say this, Helmut?
Why?
Okay, let me ask you the bare basic bones, Helmut. Where did you learn about budgeting besides school?
Just school.
Really?
Yeah.
Not even by your parents?
Mm-mm.
Okay, I saw my mom do budgets every month. Even my elder siblings, even though they didn't want to say how much they earned, they said, they always kept reiterating the words to us, the two youngest, budget, live by your budget, stick to your budget, maintain your budget. Don't go overboard. Don't feel like you feel like $1 million. Don't spend it in a weekend. Stick to the budget.
Dude, you were raised by communal land parents. I was raised by commercial land parents. They do the budgeting. They don't even tell you about it. They just go there out there and do shopping. And if anything they buy is too oversized for you, they'll tell you now, don't worry, you will grow up in them. That then,
now I get it. Yeah,
then that introduced a lot of problems for those of us with small stature because, well, the years were passing, but we were physically not growing.
True. Okay, that too.
Yeah, and I was like, so 2 years down the line, I was like, so when is this growing thing coming again?
It's in your jeans, Ahmad.
Yeah.
Not the jeans you're wearing.
Not the ones
that contain the DNA.
Yeah, look, when I was in high school, everyone was like, well, you're in high school. Why are you wearing size 5? I'm like, don't worry. Koisan DNA. It's just a play here. We turn 50 and we can still run 100 kilometers. We don't have a problem with that. Yeah, it's you guys that turn 30 and start complaining, my back. No?
Wait until you get to 40. Kneecaps will start and you will just hear the clicking sound.
we're built for endurance.
Hey man, let's not embarrass ourselves.
I noticed about basically how different people are in terms of physical, in terms of stature. Growing up, I never actually understood why it was easy for me to do backflips and it was difficult for my cousin because he's really tall.
Mm.
Yeah, so.
Have you ever seen tall people do backflips?
That's when I learned it doesn't work for.
Have you ever seen tall people do backflips?
It's a bad idea.
Just like today's discussion, I think the stakeholders were asked to do a backflip, but you could see how tall they are.
Yeah, they were really tall. Now the question in this discussion was a very basic one. From the look of things, Namibians, especially the civil servants, are drowning in debt. The majority, not all of them.
Mm.
Yeah, the majority. Now, the question is, who is the problem here? Okay, or where is the problem?
Mm.
Because obviously you had Namfisa here, you had Namfisa there, you had, the minister and their representative. You also had some journalists from the law reform. They were also there. So they were looking at, I know that they were mostly looking at it from a policy standpoint. Are Namibian laws that are regulating Namibian finances? Now we are talking about the lending institutions, both the big ones and the small ones, and by that I mean your commercial banks and other establishment ones, and also you have micro lenders also in there. Are the laws regulating these institutions doing enough to protect Namibians? And put a comma there because it's not a full stop. And then it extended from the beginning of the introduction, from the beginning by the representatives from Namfisa. They were pointing out that there are actually a lot of components at play here. You have the legal aspect, and then you have the consumer. You have a lot of questions coming in here in terms of the budgeting aspect that you just pointed out. And that's the first thing. And the second thing is the financial literacy. Now, that's the part where I have a couple of questions, of which, which will take us back to 2022, involving the public procurement, public policy unit, and Ministry of Finance.
Yeah.
I'm so glad they were there. Now, you have, you have the behavioral component. From the consumer, and then you have the behavioral component from the lender, because one thing that was pointed out by the representatives coming out of Namfisa is that the payroll deduction method has yielded unintended consequences, because instead of looking at it as a more like easy service delivery mechanism, it's now being, it's generating negative consequences of lenders are looking at payroll deduction individuals as, okay, you know what? This is security.
Yeah.
Because my payment is going to come either way.
Yeah. But so they're looking at it through the pay slip. They're not looking at it, what's happening at the bank account.
Before
it comes to bank account.
How many people do you owe? They're not looking at it from that. They're just like, okay, you know what? This method of payment, this is an excellent one because I don't have to wait for you to come and pay me.
But they actually do ask you, what do you spend the rest of your money on? Before we say yes to you. That's now microlenders and banks.
So that's the due diligence now.
That's the due diligence. So they do ask you, Hamoud. So just to let you know, dear listeners, so this particular discussion, as Helmut highlighted, asked a basic question. There was a motion brought forward last year in the National Assembly. The question was, do the current legislation, the laws, actually protect Namibians regarding the financial sector around it? Wait, let me actually get that question, because the question is literally on the poster of the, what's their name? The parliament guys. So when this particular question, you know, obviously was highlighted, Helmut, it is very direct. It is very intriguing. The reason why I obviously went, besides obviously being, you know, asked, you know, designated, you know what, or Dwight, would you go and cover this particular event and then bring back content, was not just to see who will present, but it was actually to try and see what questions would be asked after the presentations pop up. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me just get the actual, yeah. So on the question, the motion, which is the question, dear listeners, asks whether the existing laws are truly protecting Namibians from exploitation by lending institutions and informal money lenders. Now, there's a couple of things that we can firstly highlight that exists in the discussion. So what are the anomalies? Now, they pinpointed three acts, Hamoud, from the Namfisa presentation was the Usury Act of 1970-something, the Credit Agreements Act, and then there's a final act I'm forgetting.
Yeah, the Microlenders Act.
The Microlending Act, yeah. So the Microlending Act, which is highlighted here, is a discussion of what's the maximum amount, what's the potential faults and responsibilities on both parties.
Yeah.
Remember, it's literally like a contract of purchase and sale, Helmut, although you are borrowing something. And what kind of goods are covered across these particular pieces of legislation. I'm going to drop a little bit of a humdinger here. Hence the reason why I said I'm going to be bad cop today.
Come on. It's what we do.
It's what we do. Okay. The first presentation started from Ministry of Finance, and they indicated an interesting thing that I've always heard from my mother, who was a government worker, a public servant or a civil servant, was this, the deduction code mechanism, which was done through PDMS, or Payment Deduction Management System, which was an agreement with a designated private sector operator. Yes, the entity was a private sector operator, the PDMS operator. And the payment deduction code system was that you could only, as a government worker or an employee for the government, you could only have maximum 5 external deductions that are not like your medical aid or your pension or your, which is your GIPF contribution or your, there's another one, social security contribution. So those ones are like standard, and your tax deduction. Those things are like standard. They don't form part of any third party negotiations. Now, if you've got a whatever particular need out in the real world, you can go and talk, and this is how my mother explained it to me. You can go to your HR in government and explain to them that you've got this particular responsibility, which is an external third-party one, and they can add on a code through that, with obviously the permission from there, so that those people get their money regardless. You don't go and do funny things and forget to pay people, like, and then they have to call you and run after you.
More like a stop order.
It's a stop order, but it's a different kind of a stop order, because a stop order that comes literally from your employer, It's like your employer says, Helmut, here's your pay slip, but your deductions have been taken off through that PDMS system,
yeah.
Right? But your pay slip still shows you what you are getting, or what you get by law. It's just your deductions will be indicated then what you get out afterwards. Now, the presentation from Ministry of Finance, yeah, if very few people who know would know this particular system, of this system, I also knew about it. It was interesting that they brought it up. I said, okay, let's see this. And then, I'm now quickly fast forwarding to the MPs that asked the question regarding deduction system, the PDMS system. And then they asked that system, but you could see they could not understand it. If you listen to the line of question, you could see they could not understand it, Hamoud, because they wanted to know, in the realm of the government worker, what does the government worker experience? Remember, these are MPs. They are outside of this realm. They are part of the division of powers. They are part of the discussion where they've got to understand holistically what's actually present. What's impacting private sector employees and public sector employees?
Namibians
as a whole. Then there is the very nice thing that I knew the NAMFISA presentation would bring up. The Usury Act and the Credit Agreements Act are pretty outdated in terms of the kinds of products and services that you're currently seeing in the Namibian economy. When I say they are outdated, that means, which was the other suggestion of the consumer credit bill that they kept mentioning.
Yeah, that's underway.
Yeah, that tries to bring the Usury Act and the Credit Agreements Act and the Microlending Act together into one particular thing. Wonderful idea. They just have to now think about more products and more services. That's it, Hamel. That's the only thing that's the issue with the Credit Agreements Act. The Credit Agreements Act has to be updated. So they've probably gonna have to go look at what the South African Credit Agreements Act, which is the act we have currently running, how it has been updated in South Africa. Because any updates that happen in South Africa, the South African businesses that sell products on credit in Namibia will champion through those particular developments until nuances have been fixed. So, Ministry of Finance, Ministry of Justice's Law Reform Department, and NAMFISA have to keep up to date with those particular business developments. So that's private sector developments. And for once, I'm not unhappy that these guys, that the MPs actually spoke to the right people regarding it's not a very technical sector. Selling a product on credit is not a technical sector. Selling a product on credit is not a technical sector. You just have to understand, as the customer, you're probably paying 30% more of the good. The moment you buy it on credit, you're just paying 30% more for the
than
good
the cash price.
Than the cash price, yeah. And it's not a difficult thing. Where the difficulty exists is what's happening in the micro lending space and what's happening on that PDMS, payment deduction management system.
Yeah.
But the PDMS, you could clearly see from the explanation that you highlighted, which obviously comes from the audio, is that the customer forgets that there are deductions every month for
that they already signed up for.
That they already signed up, that's already taken from their account before it hits their bank account. And then they have to manage from a smaller budget any other needs that they've got to manage from.
So the math must be done from the gross, not the net.
Exactly. Even though the net is a scenario which they can see on paper.
Yeah.
Because it does show you the deductions on paper.
Yeah.
So that you know what your deductions are. Now, the rest of our conversation can go ahead, Elmo.
Now, for yours truly here, I go got somewhat of mixed messages, and that's because, as you can imagine, this was a finance-based discussion. So one of those things that always comes up when we are talking about money on a large scale, especially on a large scale, and actually basically both on a small or large scale, we start talking about, you know, the discussion of financial literacy always comes up. The discussion of financial literacy comes up. Now, that sort of like brought to my attention a lot of, at least when I compared information coming out of this, you know, coming out of the discussion that took place last week. Now, this is a gathering that brought together a lot of groups that are invested in the financial sphere of things in Namibia. You're talking about, you know, the Ministry of Finance. I mean, the Minister of Finance itself, you know, was there. And the law reform, you know, guys were there. Namfisa was there. Hence the micro lending aspect of things. Now the Minister of Finance even emphasized that, in comparison, the legislations are more up to date in the large scale financial, you know, Namibia's financial sector, like your large scale financial institutions compared to micro lending, right? Because
banks, insurance,
So your micro lending legislations are still in the dinosaur era, so they need to be brought up to speed.
Mm.
And one of the challenges in terms of regulation that popped up was that you have in terms of regulation, especially when it comes to lending, the two that plays the major role in Namibia are the Usuries Act that regulates mostly, you know, the charges, and you have the Micro Lending Act that regulates the lender's conduct.
Mm.
Yeah, like how can they how they conduct their business, and how they do, basically go about treating defaulting customers or clients. So, you know, all the basically the lender-lendee behavior is regulated by the micro lending by the micro lending act. The usury just focuses on mostly on the charges, and it's more about the numbers. Now, when it comes to micro lenders, not only, and this was also pointed out in this discussion, not only did the, not only is there an increase in that business, there's an increase in number of, of people offering micro lending services. And one of the thing that was pointed out as to why the number seems to be ballooning in the micro lending spheres is how flexible they are in terms of in terms of offering their services compared to big institutions like your commercial banks, for example.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of paperwork and due process that they do on a central bank level, not central bank, a commercial bank level, or financial institutions that are on a, you know, on a large caliber compared to micro lenders. But for micro lenders, well, one of the interesting that was pointed out is retail stores and grocery stores are now offering the service, and now, but the thing is, they are not included in the legislations in terms of regulating them.
Exactly the point just before, you know, you gave us that add-on, Helmut, because in essence, I'll give you another interesting story. I know it's pretty personal one, but my mother had her Edgar's account, Helmut, since the 1980s. I say had, past tense, obviously. Mm-hmm. So that was a credit agreement engagement between customer and business,
mm-hmm,
for 20-something years regarding this agreement, which I think comes from 1986, or is it 1980, the Credit Agreements Act. So Namibia never really looked at updating the legislation, which is close to 40 something years outdated, specifically those first two, because the micro lending is a different realm. The micro lending builds off of the Usury Act,
mm-hmm,
but usury is an old business model. You'll find it in Asia, ancient China. You'll find it in the Middle East.
With a very interesting history, usury.
The Usury Act, guys, is an old, and it's literally, like Helmut said, it technically manages or actually regulates the conduct on one side, and no, was the micro lending that you said is...
Yeah, the micro lending is the one that has to do with conduct. The usuries with charges.
Charges, yeah. But usury's actual discussion was also about what is deemed as a adequate level of a price for something you didn't pay a cash price for.
Mm-hmm.
So which is the charges, but it helps to give brackets and categories and outlines what you can potentially ask per product category. Now, you'll see a lot of these people, these young people, for some of the retail stores in the malls.
Mm-hmm.
I won't mention one, but it's actually where a lot of the couples who recently became parents.
I know it already.
They're always stopped by those people from that specific shop,
yeah.
Asking them, "Do you want an account?"
You find them with the giant tabs in the door.
"Do you want an account, sir?" You know, it's a
It's
a pretty easy process to do so. And then
is this and this and this nice? They don't point out on the
disadvantage. You just see the people turning left or right immediately in that direction, or sometimes just saying, "No, I'm sorry. You know, I don't have a need right now." So the Credit Agreements Act helps to build the Credit Agreements Act and the Usury Act. Help to build business, as you can see, because it makes things predictable, meaning volumes of the goods can move quicker. Now, the public engagement or the interaction between the Standing Committee of Industry, Economics, Public Administration, something else, there's another thing in their name, they wanted to know about protection.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Helmut, and this is once again where I throw in the massive Bob Jones spanner. Yes, that is its actual name. Not the Afrikaans name, which I will not say on air. It's a massive Bob Jones spanner.
That's the only one I grew up knowing.
The Bob Jones.
Did not speak a word out of Afrikaans, but I know that name.
Yeah, which is not actually its name. That Afrikaans name of it. Its real name is the Bob Jones spanner. Do you know that I stood there laughing, Hamoud, for like 30 minutes at home when I read that meme online? And I was like, no one went to inquire what you call this product in the shop. It was made after someone's intellectual property, hence the name, the Bob Jones Spanner. But now we want to be calling things your animal names for no reason, and you try to understand, okay, so how does the animal name fit into the function of gripping and turning?
Look, man. Let me just take a little bit off topic here. If you want to be murdered by some people I know, just go to most parts of, and I won't speak of anyone's area, I'll just speak of mine. I'm sure a lot of us can relate.
Mm.
Just go to, some parts of my region and tell them that, the guy in the Jesus movie is Jim Caviezel.
Mm.
Not the real Jesus. Murder be committed. And the guy in Shaka Zulu is not the real Shaka Zulu.
It's just an act.
Again, murder be committed.
Yeah.
Because I think a repetition of something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's something that you basically adopt and you just you heard it from somewhere no one actually explained it to me that the intellectual property part that you just mentioned.
Mm.
Just grew up knowing that Afrikaans name.
I also just knew that name until I came across it literally on Facebook just before last year, end of last year.
And you're like, hang on a second.
And I was like, is this the thing's name? I was like, oh my goodness, look at us. And I was like, my goodness. Because the guy literally went, some names that are meant for certain tools and instruments,
yeah,
which don't have the real, which is not the real name of the product when you go look it up. And then he gave a list, and one of them was that spanner.
There's a whole list. All right, toss it in there. Just toss it in.
There was a list of products. I was like, oh my goodness. But anyway,
just throw it in there.
Getting back on point.
Yeah.
So the particular concern here has been protection. But protection from who, Helmut? Because currently right now, if from the presentations that were given, if you as a neutral party sat, like you listened to the presentations earlier today,
mm-hmm.
I obviously observed the presentations for the whole 4 hours, I think.
feel pity for you.
No, it was interesting stuff, Helmut. I mean, it was truly interesting stuff to sit and listen as well.
Mm-hmm.
Until the questions came from the MPs.
What do you mean, until the questions?
Because, Helmut, it's not rocket science that we said that Namfisa and the Bank of Namibia's people were presenting. Even though there is a little bit of a caveat with the Bank of Namibia's presentation on inclusivity, meaning access to banking services and stuff like that, which I don't agree with. When the lady highlighted that specifically, you know, they've brought in reforms of the central bank to try and make banking services through the commercial banks as accessible as possible,
yeah,
by trying to remove like certain fee structures or, you know, or advising the banks to allow for easy, signing on procedures to get to a bank account. But whatever she explained, Helmut, is not happening from what I even discovered today. Just today, I had to go into my bank for another particular personal reason. And just for the fun of it, I asked, listen, how does one go about getting a new bank account? But just a basic bank account. And then I was explained, you either need to prove income,
yeah,
through a payslip, or you must come and deposit $1,000 Namibian into the account. And just like you and I, Helmut, that is not what we heard from the audio or what I saw,
mm-hmm,
or what you saw in the video. That's not what we heard. To the MPs, another thing was presented about, yeah, you know, inclusivity here and there. And the aim was to convince the banks to do away with certain things, with certain particular hurdles, so as to get more Namibians taking up bank accounts. Do you know what is the explanation that the woman gives me today from my bank?
Okay.
About why they have these particular sort of like guardrails, I'll put them in inverted commas. It's because the bank is afraid the account will go dormant. Let me say it again. The bank is afraid, the commercial bank,
yeah,
that the account will go dormant, meaning lack of activity.
I'm suspecting that's something they go through
regularly, which, yeah, is literally,
hence the guardrails.
But why would you put up such high guardrails? Now you have to prove, Helmut,
yeah,
that you are earning a salary.
Yeah, with a payslip.
With a payslip.
Or $1,000.
Now what happens, Helmut, if you were a communal farmer and you were making your own money? Do you write your own payslip?
I don't know about the financial institution you bank with, but there's one that one friend of mine banks with. Mm. There's an option of you getting a declaration from the police. And then they can, that will they basically save in the place of a payslip. Take, for example, you're a small business individual. Yeah. You're just making, take, for example, 3K a month from selling your potatoes and that, but you don't have the documentation that I needed for you to have a bank account.
Yeah.
So they had that option available. I'm not sure about the
commercial. Now imagine this is someone who is unemployed.
Yeah.
They need a bank because they need to put money in.
Yeah.
But they don't have the money yet, but they need the bank.
They don't have the money yet. That's going to be tricky.
Because I've been with this guy here. Do you see the dilemma?
Yeah.
Now the default is you must either prove your source of income, yeah, meaning how regularly do you make this money?
Yeah.
Or you need to prove something else, that you are actually working.
Yeah.
Now, yes, I understand. It makes it easier for the bank. It's the bank services. It's a product of the bank, meaning, yeah, selling bank accounts is a product of the bank,
yeah,
of a commercial bank. The concern, however, comes in, Helmut. Banking services under this particular discussion is sort of like, put it secondary. It's a secondary step because you know you can only use the commercial banks. You can't use Bank of Namibia for your personal banking needs. Bank of Namibia does not sell bank accounts.
Yeah.
Bank of Namibia does not go around running lovely customer competitions for how many times you swipe with your card at a store. That's not their job. So
they just regulate institutions, exactly, that does that.
But the regulation is not even as like a hands-on regulation.
Yeah.
Because from what I could also, potentially gauge in terms of the tone, the voice tone from the panel was, they want to see first, okay, what's the level of regulation? How intense is the regulation? Because here's the thing, Helmut. If your bank, if you think your bank did something wrong to you, if you felt wronged by your bank,
yeah,
you can first address it to the bank. Tell them your concerns.
Yeah.
And the second thing is you can then go and lodge a complaint if you're unhappy with that,
yeah,
to the Bank of Namibia. Although the Bank of Namibia's people, the one time that I tried doing that, it was handled very dodgily. I just have to say that because it was weird. The lady took me to a side room in a side corner of something. I was like, what's going on here? Why are we going into so many side things? You can just take me into an office on your side. Now I need to be taken here to side rooms for some reason. And I wanted to ask, you know, what's the process to lodge a complaint against a commercial bank?
Yeah.
That was just my question. Straightforward question, Alma. What process must I go through here at the Bank of Namibia to lodge a complaint against my particular bank, mm-hmm, my commercial bank? Obviously, it didn't go anywhere because I could read from the response that I got from the person that it wasn't, you know, the person didn't want to be willing to help, which is a bit weird.
You could have launched another complaint against, you know, the bank and then the person. I'm sure they have internal mechanisms on how to deal with it.
And then who responds, Ahmad? Who literally responds?
I have no idea.
So, in Namfisa's particular consideration, Namfisa obviously looks at micro-lending or lenders, which are not banking institutions, and insurance companies.
Yeah.
And the scenario around that is also understanding what particular insurance product or what particular micro-lender you accessed. Remember, Helmut, all of this points to the individual making a decision to access a product.
Yep.
It doesn't point to the micro-lender running wild and saying, hey, come borrow money from me. Yeah. And then I hit you with 50% in terms of repayment fees. Mm. Or I hit you with this. Hey, come take insurance from me. And then you tell them, hey, listen, your premium is actually only going to cover you for X, Y, Z, A, B, and C.
Yeah.
You can forget the rest of the alphabet. But what? You, how can you call this a health insurance and say, yeah, you know what? Just take it easy. You know, that's just our marketing. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah, well, one thing I've come to learn about those guys is they will send in the beauty to go and sell the insurance. But if you want to go and cancel it, you're going to run into a beast.
It's a very understanding beast. A very understanding guy. You know, you always just explain to him, hey, listen, my guy, I just need my money.
You know, look.
I want to cancel. I don't want to pay it anymore. Yeah, but don't you want to reconsider?
Exactly.
Why must I reconsider? This is a what if business.
There are these advantages, and also we can just throw in this and this.
And then you tell the insurance guy, but this is a what if scenario. You are presenting to me in the event of, what must I do with that? If it happens, it happens.
In the event of you die, we'll cover him. Like, dude, I'm dead. I don't have to worry about that. There are people at home that, you know, will bring kettle together and eat. You know, enjoy my party in my absence. That's very rude, especially when you're eating meat in my. Someone should look into this whole funeral thing. Now, look.
Just like our colleague now that I
can be enjoying a pana and I'm dead, like
or having a couple of beers in my honor on my death. I'm like, it's here. Look at these guys. Are your throats that dry that you need a beer?
Yeah,
from burying me. But anyway, yeah. Besides the morbid discussion, yeah. So, it seemed like, and you can sometimes see, Helmut, when members of parliament present motions that they were told of at home or in the community. No, straightforward stuff, Helmut. Let's not even beat about the bush.
Yeah.
They were told at home. Someone was like, ah, my goodness, Helmut. Ah, my child. No, these deductions are too much. Look at them. And then they tell the person their story without being half full of the story. They just tell a piece of the story. No, there's just too many deductions. Now, too many deductions should tell anyone.
How many people do you owe?
How many people do you owe? Helmut, I'll ask you now. If you currently look at financial literacy in this country, now I want you to bring up that...
Ooh, my favorite part.
That particular discussion. If we look at financial literacy today, guys, life is expensive in Namibia.
Especially in Windhoek.
Life is expensive. You've got to manage your money. But yeah, I'm going to leave it there for now, yeah.
One of the things that was pointed out in this Namfisa Ministry of Finance law reform and this Parliamentary Standing Committee with a very long name, Parliamentary Standing Committee on Economy, Industry, Planning and Public Administrations.
Yeah, planning. Planning is the word I've got, yeah.
Yeah. In their deliberation on how to make Namibian laws work better, just trying to be diplomatic, because this is the last time you're going to hear me being diplomatic in today's home run. One thing that was pointed out, apart from, the payroll deduction system that's being looked at by a lot of lenders as a security guarantee of them getting whatever money they lend out. That's one thing. And the second thing was two things that are basically intertwined, if you ask me, financial literacy and the financial behavior. Mm-hmm. Now I'm borrowing the word financial behavior from, financial behavior from the gentleman I showed you earlier. It's the Francois Brand.
Francois.
Yeah. Brand, yeah. Back in 2022, gentleman made one interesting point on the discussion of financial literacy. Actually, he made two very interesting points. One is he basically pointed out that financial literacy, every time that we bring it up, we don't explore it in its entirety. Like financial literacy goes beyond you knowing how to manage money. It also encompasses you having the financial discipline, not just the knowledge of how to manage money, but the discipline of how to manage money. Because you can have all the wisdom on how to manage money, but if you are one of those people that are known for impulsive shopping, you can have all the wisdom and still be broke. So, I think that definition of, that definition of financial literacy for me, I think it's good to have on a national level, because we have to understand that financial literacy encompasses two things, and I agree with the man. There's a financial knowledge and financial discipline in this financial literacy umbrella.
Number two is important.
Which is financial discipline.
Exactly.
Look, we know very well how much we earn, all of us. And we know the right lifestyle that is affordable under our respective incomes. And we know sometimes, and we know when we are pushing the limits.
Yeah.
We know. In that discussion with the Government Information Center, Mr. Brand pointed out, two things that, in 2013, they did a survey to look at Namibia's financial literacy. And they looked at and he appeared on this platform as the deputy executive director of procurement policy unit, which is a directorate under Minister of Finance. So I'm assuming when he said we, he was talking speaking as a procurement policy unit or Ministry of Finance overall.
Hmm.
Yeah, that in 2013 they conducted a survey to look at Namibia's overall financial literacy rate, looking at mostly two things: financial knowledge and financial discipline. And according to him, they found that Namibia's financial literacy rate was at 42.75%. Put that number in mind. The financial literacy rate is 42.75. Mm. That's under 50%. If you think that's bad, just keep listening. Then they found that financial knowledge was at 52%. And then the behavioral component was at 32%. In other words, a lot of us, we know very well there are things we can't afford, but we just decide, you know what? I will have to buy her that. And don't then, ask why I threw in the hair. Now, the thing is, when you...
And then a South African shop shows up and says, hey, Dwight, come look at this. You can lay by. You can buy an account. Your account costs nothing. Get $1,000 in your account for free, just like that.
Your account costs nothing, huh? they wouldn't be selling it.
Hey, but I'm telling you, the temptation now on payday, the temptation is ugly.
So when you look at it on that overall aspect of financial, you know, financial literacy in Namibia, financial literacy is high in comparison. Yeah, our financial literacy is high.
Yeah.
Is our ability, the problem we have is not the literature. It's our ability to practice what we preach.
To what we know.
Yeah. We know, we have the theory. It's the practice. You know, but, as in everything else, theory, you know, saying is much easier. Practicing is a whole different ballgame. Which is why you have someone telling you, you need to pray for this car. But when he wants a car, you must donate. I get out of here. If I'm praying for mine, Oga, you are also praying for yours.
We will pray together.
Yeah, we will pray together. For our individual cars.
Exactly.
Yeah, you pray for yours, I'll pray for mine.
Yeah.
Now, if I have to contribute to yours, you're going to have to contribute to mine. It's very simple math here. The damn thing is that there are a lot of Namibians that believe all that.
They still do. Every Sunday. There were a whole bunch yesterday. When, you know, the country was half dead. It happens every Sunday, Amul. Nothing can happen without those Namibians first waking up and then just handing over money. You and I, we are in the wrong business, Amul.
That's one thing. That's one thing that the standing committee and Amfisa should have pointed out. Now you know why I can't be what part religion? Of this discussion. You know, churches, let's talk.
Religion.
Now, to have that discussion, what other ministry would have to be there?
No. Do you know which ministry actually missed there? Ministry of Industries, Mines and Energy. Because Industries now technically falls under...
Mines.
And the trade guys of Ministries of International Relations and Trade, they should have also been there. Now, obviously, the core discussion was about laws.
Yeah.
But why I mentioned these two sister ministries to Ministry of Finance and Ministry of Justice was also because there's a consumer protection unit that was under the old Ministry of Industrialization and Trade. And that specific unit, Helmut, was under... it was the Directorate of Consumer Protection, but under the... I can't remember if it's under the trade branch or under the industrialization branch. Mm-hmm. So they needed that as well. Because here's the thing, Helmut. Now, Ministry of Finance, Ministry of Justice, and Namfisa, and Bank of Namibia are developing the consumer credit bill. Helmut, we haven't heard of the consumer credit bill. So that means we've got an additional bill onto the, what did I count last? The 17 bills from State of the Nation address. So we've got an additional bill on top of this, which makes it 18 to 19 bills probably that have to be discussed. Earlier today, I bumped into an MP from the National Assembly and I asked him, what's his particular take? How confident is he that we will get any of the pertinent bills like data protection, cybersecurity on the floor and it gets fully explored and debated and reviewed? Mm-hmm. He just shook his head and he just said, I have low confidence that those things will ever make it to the floor this year. Exactly. Now, on Friday we hear about consumer credit bill.
Yeah, like,
To consolidate the Usury Act, the Credit Agreements Act, and the Micro Lending Act. Suddenly we hear now about the consumer credit bill. Because it came from where? Where was it, once again? The discussion of today, ne, that I came from, which was about an AI national policy development strategy, ne? There they were also, they're the same people from who were representing the technical committee, the technical, and the technical something, the A technical analysis committee or some technical something committee, and they are all Vintu based, commerce based. Mm-hmm. Well, those guys also said they don't know where the data protection and cybersecurity bills are with MICT. Guess why? Because the agency that established the TAC, these TAC guys for the development of the national AI policy and relevant and subsequent legislation, those guys were not appointed by MICT. They were appointed by NCRST, which is under MISAC. Because it was MISAC that received the AI readiness report, remember, from a UNESCO last year.
Yeah.
It was MISAC. So we get back once again to siloed operations. And guess what? Here's the lovely thing. The Ministry of Justice guy, the law reform guy, he should have presented first. Because presentation was the most impactful from the first four presentations.
You know the part that from that guy that got me on the floor? The structural adjustment part in the event that you reach a default, that you must sit with your lender and go like, okay, I know I planned, it didn't work out. But
no, but it does allow you.
In practice,
you are allowed that.
Don't they already do that?
They do. Even for businesses, they do. You can go and talk to your. If you've got a business, you can go talk to your suppliers. Your suppliers have put up 10% extra, which is the inflation rate, obviously, or the what you call it, sort of like the proponent for inflation. Is obviously all these increases that come through at the start of every year.
Yeah.
You go talk to your service provider and you ask him, hey, listen, my guy, can I pay this amount because we've got this, we've got that. And in the UK, there's a very, the worst case scenario of that, the structural, you know,
discussion.
Mm. In the UK, when I used to watch a lot of football as a teenager and then as a young man, if other people were paying for the DSTV, you know, why must I complain? Now I don't watch the thing anymore even. So I used to watch a lot of these documentaries specifically around football and British football. And one of the documentaries I included what happened to the football club Leeds United, what happened to Sunderland, what happened to Wimbledon, and what happened to Portsmouth. All four of these clubs were in the English Premier League, the first 10 years of the English Premier League. So from 1992 up to like 2002 or 2004, if you stretch it a bit. And there's an ugly thing in the UK known as administration. Now, when a company is deemed to be placed under administration through a court, this is when your creditors, the people you owe money, goes to the court.
Oh.
And they go tell the court, we don't trust this, our debtor, to pay back the money agreed upon installments or monies as we want him or her to do. Then they go to the courts and the court has to instruct you to be administered by your creditors. This means what we hear from the illegal microlenders, where they take your bank card and they go deduct their money first from the ATM, which is something according to Namfisa is not supposed to be done.
The micro lender actually prohibits taking personal documents like your bank card and your ID.
Yeah, they're not supposed to do that. Yeah. Just so that you guys know, micro lenders are not supposed to do that.
Yeah, because if you're going to have to take someone's bank card, you're going to have to take the PIN too, and it's a PIN for a reason.
Yeah, and it's against the commercial banks' policies and laws, even.
It's a giant security flaw.
It is. It's a major flaw.
Yeah.
So, the administration scenario, which is the worst of that restructuring conversation, what I always saw was the recurring theme of these football clubs back, and I know it's England. England has different laws, different legal system, way older than Namibia's. But you can
always... Who adopted most of theirs.
So, yeah, through South Africa.
Yeah.
So you can see what is in some scenarios still relevant in the broader context of commercial activity. So when your creditors, Helmut, achieve a successful win in filing for administration, they literally have access to your bank account. So what does that mean? They appoint someone, a consultant, who pays them first. So if you get earnings like this, now that it would be based upon what your contact had been before that. Let's say you had borrowed money here, borrowed money there, borrowed money there, borrowed money. Now you agreed to everyone's terms. You just went and said yes. They were like, okay, cool. We're in the...
Because it was December and you're having a good time.
Yeah, everybody's now happy. We've got business. Business is going. And then when it now has come to paying back now, now the one creditor seeing is not being paid and you're paying that creditor. And then next month, this creditor is not being paid that got paid last month. And this creditor that was paid, that was not paid last month is now being paid this month. So now it creates this unreliable conduct situation based just solely about how you are acting. And then administration hits. When administration hits, Helmut, they will pay the creditors first. Your money will be like that PDMS system. You'll get your payslip and you will see where did the money go first before it came to me. And for how long will this go on? The big concern obviously was how was the organization run? How was it administered? What kind of people were in charge of said business? Because, I mean, just yesterday I watched another guy, an American, also on YouTube, who explained, and he himself said he's also an employer. He said literally he would look at people's, at the kind of work that people were doing.
Yeah.
Because how he started out his business was he was a middleman. He was a supplier of selling to small repair shops, computer repair shops, electronic repair shops, to fix your everyday, electronics. And then he would see the skill set of the person that has to work with a product. And then he asked the person, what's your pay? And then the person says, it's this. And then, he then just, realizes that this person is busy operating on a manufacturer level instead of what a repair shop is supposed to do. You just take off and replace. You don't try to rebuild the phone from scratch.
Yeah, just a wall.
You just take off and you put on.
Yeah.
You just switch parts out. Now, he highlighted, that was the basis of his discussion. He highlighted specifically the aim of, the word good employer is also a nuanced discussion. It depends really. But he highlighted the aim of being a good employer is to have good working conditions. It's not always about high pay or who offers the most money. In many cases, it's a scenario of, do the people feel valued? Now, primarily, feeling valued and obviously living are two different things as well. And the particular conversation about how you approach and how to administer a business is also a conversation of, what are you doing this business? Why are you in this business for? In many cases, some people say they're working for themselves. Others say they are trying to start up something good to dominate some sector or something like that. In many scenarios, it's actually the first answer. Just to earn money.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what the economy is based on. The consideration from this has been, Helmut, how do you see this cascading into the rest of the economy? Now, I know I went far with the administration discussion because administration can take many formats. It could be about people that you hire to conduct business on behalf of you, or which we've now seen with the Middle East is a bad idea sometimes.
Especially when it comes to security, don't.
Or it's just that example, which is a bad idea.
Yeah, terrible idea.
And in other scenarios, it's also a discussion of what impact you're trying to make. Now, getting back on point, conversation-wise, topic-wise, oversight committee, insight-wise, the big discussion out here has been, how does money move in the Namibian economy?
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're looking at microlenders and you're asking, do the laws actually defend or protect people? Yeah, but Hamoud, if you're talking about protection, where's the consumer protection?
We're working on it.
Just like the cyber response team that is, we're working on it, but we've got a bill.
Oh, yeah. No.
We can trace, but we've got a bill.
Yeah. A bill, seriously. You know,
we can't charge anyone, but we can just trace. They look fancy.
That reminds me of the article I saw on the eVillager Facebook page.
Yeah.
Of South Africa's AI regulation issues. Yeah, that is basically thrown out.
The false quotes that were
the policies, the policy regulating AI. And they are, in the review process, they found out that someone may have been using AI to draft an AI policy. What the heck?
That's what I also heard today. Use an AI to download an AI. What in?
Talk about cannibalism.
This comes from someone that works in the tech sector. Go and use an AI. Download another one AI to download another AI. What are we doing?
Now, you know why the Scandinavian, the Nordic countries are going, they're looking at their schools and looking at technology and going,
just go back to books.
On second thought, please go back to books.
Just learn to write.
Please, please.
Yeah, we don't care if you're bullying each other. Just.
There are certain things that should be left manual.
And I heard this now from a stakeholder engagement.
Yeah.
Download an AI to download another AI. Download an AI to download another AI. I was also shocked. I was like, what? I sat there going, what? How does it make sense? But most of the things are already running automatically on my phone.
Well, if it works.
Yeah, don't break it.
Yeah.
Don't replace it.
Yeah, just don't change it. Let's take a short break and we'll come back on the other side and continue this discussion. And we are looking at the discussion that was ahead by the Minister of Finance and Law Reform, Minister of Finance, Law Reform, Namfisa, and a Parliamentary Standing Committee on Economics, Industry, Planning and Public Administration on mostly the regulation of what's taking place in Namibia's financial sector. Why are a lot of households drowning in debt? Is there something that can be done from a legislative standpoint, or more like is this a legislative problem, or is it a behavioral problem, or is it a financial education problem? And all of these things were explored, and I'm glad they concluded that at the end of the day, I know that they walked in there thinking that with one question that that heavily leaned on the legislative aspect of things, I don't feel like they addressed the behavioral component enough, because believe me, you can have the best legislations, but if the behavioral component is not improved, especially the budgeting scenario, it doesn't matter how much they pay, you're still being dead.
Yep.
Because the more money you're going to earn, the more flamboyant you'll want to make your lifestyle. And you just be caught in a loop. So, on the other side of the break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
Welcome back. So we are 11 minutes into the hour of 5. And if you just tuned in, this is Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. So financial literacy. This is a topic that impacts all of us. Look, it's a good thing I did for, you know, remember that one early enough. when the, you know, Diamond fiasco took place, was that early last year? At, you know, Namdia.
Yeah.
One of the questions that I couldn't wrap my mind around is a lot of the people that were involved in that debacle were, you know, executive guys.
Yeah.
And I'm like, don't these guys earn enough? Like, what are they doing here? Like, what are they do? And then, you know, I had to answer my own question when I looked at Fisher. I'm like, executive minister, that makes sense. You know, you are looking
What was the answer, Hamoud?
My answer is very simple. Well, minister, well, with his all, you know, travel allowance and money and all that, you know, were decided decided the income was not enough, so he decided to go full Iceland,
yeah.
And then things went south. And he, it wasn't surprising for me to, you know, that's actually, I basically lowered down my surprise on seeing a couple of executive guys involved in a heist. Because I'm looking at the executive guy, I'm like, hey, don't you earn enough? And then I've come to learn that the behavior of money is the more you earn, the more you spend.
Which is based just on the spending.
Yeah, which is just based, you know, on the spending. That realization always take me to, you know, always take me to a guy who I'm not a huge fan of, Ronald Reagan. In his inauguration speech in 1981, January, he did point out this, my favorite paragraph in the whole speech, that you and I, as individuals, can, by borrowing, live beyond our means, but for only a limited period of time, which is why he started, you know, doing all those dodgy things to earn more money, irrespective of being, you know, even after, well, I mean, he was a president, for the love of God. Then he pointed, he went on to say that, I'll start it over again. You and I, as individuals, can by borrowing live beyond our means, but for only a limited period of time. Why then should we think that collectively, as a nation, we are not bound by the same limitations? If every time that you find a bunch of guys in any country, not just Namibia, talking about politics, especially when you're talking about national debt. We bash the government left, right, and center. Why are we borrowing? Why are we are drowning in debt ourselves? Now, if we are such excellent financial managing experts, why are we? So we are basically pointing at the government. We are pointing at the government for the problem that we ourselves are dealing with on a personal levels.
But it's the most skewed understanding ever.
Uh-huh.
Because government borrowing is good business.
I understand government doesn't borrow to go and chill, although Mozambique tried that. But the thing is,
Mozambique borrowed to Splara.
Yeah. Mozambique tried that, and they ended up losing a lot of, you know, international trust in terms of financing, especially in the sphere of foreign direct investment, because yeah. A bunch of their foreign investors basically decided to reach for the nearest exit they could find. The thing is, that's the behavioral component now, especially when it comes to household spending. Oh, boy, the stories I will tell you after this show, this is the stories that you're going to find in a lot of our societies in terms of money.
Mm.
Like, you'll find, a fully grown individual that's basically gambling a salary. For the love of God, why?
No, I know those stories.
I know
those stories.
You're going to show up to a jackpot with your salary?
Yes.
Or a casino?
Do you know why the casinos have that tagline with the self-help, with the assistance, addiction assistance number to help you for counseling?
Really?
Where they say, now they have a tagline which goes, winners know when to stop. That specific tagline. Okay, it's a South African tagline, yes, but they've got that tagline also I see sometimes here in Namibia.
Winners know how to do it?
How to stop.
How often do you win, though? Yeah. Okay, so that means...
You know, the gaslighting is on another level.
I know, right? That's gaslighting. So, and also...
It technically tells you, continue playing till you win.
It's also very insulting because if you're saying winners know how to stop. If I haven't won in years, so I'm a loser, so I don't know how to stop.
Ish. I know. It's legally ambiguous. It is so vague.
The gaslighting part was spot on.
Yeah, the gaslighting is spot on. But it's so vague, it technically means, why must we chase away the customer? Even though the customer has real issues.
Yeah. Actually, he shouldn't be here. He should be seeing a therapist or someone.
Some of them are she's.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are she's.
Mm.
They have money. The only pastime they've got is literally going to a casino and sitting in front of those slot machines and then just playing. Now
may I never run into one of those she's.
Me as well.
Yeah.
So the big concern, Helmut, is a scenario of, how do you guide or how do you operate your life in your own personal time? I remember when I popped up that conversation point back in last year about looking after athletes, how we need to make our sport professional, installing certain particular things to give more protections to athletes, And one of the examples was the example I explained to you, what happens, for example, with the athletes that I know from the Namibia's amateur rugby league setup, is that, Helmut, if you tear a knee ligament today in a rugby match, you are employed.
In Namibia. Oh, no,
if you tear your knee ligament today in a rugby match, your medical aid from your employer will not cover you for that damage because you did not get injured on company time. And the medical aid will even tell you, yeah, it's literally a mobility-threatening injury, a ligament injury.
Yeah, no, that's bad.
But we can't pay for it because you didn't get hurt at home. Or
at work,
you got hurt while you were doing something risky in your own time. So when we sit with such realities, yes, the MPs of the National Assembly, they have to take the concerns of the greater electorate at heart. But when we get down to commercial activity, to what drives business in this economy, the scenario has been, how do people know what their rights are, specifically, like with microlending?
Yeah.
Who they should access and who they should not access. And what are some of the systems and things that already exist? Because, Helmut, you have to ask yourself, if you want to take charge of your account, of your budget, let's say you go get a job again in government. Let's say you decide to go do bush teaching again. Sorry. But let's say you go do bush teaching.
Yeah, I'm told the bush allowance is...
What?
Nothing. It's bush teaching.
Let's say you go back to bush teaching again. And now you decide to have a furniture account, a clothing account, a WhatsApp account, and a what other account. The right is fully with you to preload them on that payment deduction management system, that PDMS.
Yeah.
It's fully on you. It's not that the private company goes to your HR manager in the public sector and says, I want to be attached to Dwight's earnings. They can still do it, a stop order from your bank.
Mm-hmm.
It's fully on you, Helmut, for that to happen. But for the love of me, I don't know why you would say yes. You want to see your budget first. You want to see those SMSs of positivity and behavior reform take place before your mind switches into, okay, now you've got to be responsible, Dwight. Let me start budgeting. Because why on a national level Are MPs now trying to understand concerns of the everyday person regarding the decisions that the everyday person themselves make?
Which is borderline impossible to regulate.
Yeah. Because, okay, there was one other particular question that also popped up from one of the MPs regarding were there discussions held with the unions?
Huh?
And I was like, with the unions? Why are the unions important in this? Why are the unions important in this? Let me ask you, Helmut, why should the unions be important in a relationship between a commercial entity and a customer? What do the unions want to establish?
Yeah, let me answer that with a question. Is there a consumer spending habit union I don't know about?
I also want to know that. I don't know of anything like that.
Because that's the only union I can think of that can at least try, and that even if you formed one, they would just tell you, well, it's my money, I can do whatever I want, and they'll be right.
Exactly. So once again, if a union member, a member of a union, of a labor union, is a customer of a business, firstly, for the union to be involved, the union has to understand what labor relations exists. Like I said, a union member is a customer of a business. What labor relation exists between a customer and a service provider or product provider? Except for the people acting or selling on behalf of the business to the customer. Now, the person who asked the question was a former unionist. Let me also identify that.
When all you have is, hammer, you think everything is a nail. I get the point.
Which is literally the kind of discussion, Helmut, because we also have to identify certain realities. Namfisa knows what they have to do. I'm not defending Namfisa, just so that you guys know. Namfisa knows what they have to do. What I did not see from Namfisa, from Bank of Namibia, and from...
Law Reform.
Not Law Reform. The guys... Was it Bank of Namibia? No, sorry. It was just Bank of Namibia and Namfisa. Was... What kind of consumer protection aspects do they have? Because one of the things that they did fall short of, specifically Namfisa, was what they were asked the question, do they have offices across the country? Do they have a presence in terms of inspection and enforcement? And how does inspection and enforcement happen when they do it? First and foremost, no, they don't have offices all across the country because they only concentrated in Windhoek. So this means... If you're a micro lender in Kietmans, go crazy. We are not for giving bad advice, Namibians. Please, I'm just letting you know. We don't give bad advice, but we do show you the loophole. Meaning there would be a lovely piece of legislation, a law that protects you, ne?
Yeah.
But because the police, not the actual police from Nampol, the police who are governed, who have to act on to enforce that law, does not have an office in your town.
And chances are very high your client doesn't know
that they
about
have
that
rights.
Regulation.
Yeah, that they have certain rights. You have the opportunity to exploit. I'm sorry, but you have the opportunity to exploit.
Hey, be positive, man. At least have the micro-lending act and read it, read it to them before giving them money. There's no micro-lender who's going to do that. They'll be shooting us. One aspect that was also, it's a very good thing that these are lawmakers. They're mostly for the most part, most of them, especially if you're looking at the standing committee and the Minister of Finance. But the Minister of Finance herself is an expert in these things. Yeah. But human behavior is always going to be the flaw. One of the biggest security flaw on your devices is you, the user. You are the biggest security flaw because most of the access the easiest way that bad actors gain access to your phone is through social engineering.
And social engineering is what, guys? Helmut, please help us. Your friends. Your family. Your wife, your husband, sometimes your kids.
Yep.
Position a product at every level. Sorry, Ahmed.
Now, here's the thing. The aspect of one part that was not addressed, which I feel like should have been pointed at, is especially with regards to the ballooning number of micro lenders. Okay, one thing that was pointed out in that aspect is that because there's there's basically market available. Mm. There's a lot of clients that that I need to finance, which is a good thing. Until you realize that one, we have 3 million. There is not a lot of people. Two, I have a sneaky suspicion a lot of them are gravitating towards micro lenders for two main reasons. One, it's of how flexible micro lenders are in terms of giving them access to the money. Even though they don't give large amounts. Two, most of them already owe established financial institutions and if not gray or blacklisted. Exactly. So they don't have access to to the established financial institutions anymore. So their only option, is to go to micro lenders, and most of them don't know anything about this individual because of, again, for the most part, lack of due diligence.
Exactly.
And that aspect, that I cannot believe they left that out. But if you just sit with a lot of micro lenders, they will tell you that there are a lot of people that are just you can just look at someone's income and see that, okay, this person could have gone to any commercial bank, they would get a loan. Now the question is, why are they coming to me? And then he realized, is it possible they already owe multiple?
Which is the same premise with the PDMS, the payment deduction management system.
Mm-hmm.
When they started talking about the deduction codes, which has nothing to do with 2 million Namibians, should I say?
I make it 2 million.
Or let's say 2.5 million Namibians. Nah, nothing to do with 2.5 million Namibians. Although about 1 million of those Namibians get impacted directly because they might be family members. The concern that I'm highlighting has been, okay, so does that not mean the employer, which is the government, needs to go and coach all their ministries and the staff in those ministries
to go and tell
them, hey, Helmut, since you're going back to bush teaching there, it doesn't mean you must buy a crate of your favorite alcoholic beverage just to stay sane with the bush and the potential threat of danger around every tree. No, Helmut, try and buy yourself some body armor next time. I know it's the worst advice, guys.
The thing is, when it comes to regulation, the only way to solve, especially the human behavioral component, is to regulate individual spending, yeah, which is impossible. One, it's impossible. Two, now you are just, you are about to start making laws that are against the constitution, because if you are regulating someone's spending, you will first have to explain how you know what I'm buying all the time. That means you need access to every time that I do shopping. Invasion of privacy, Chapter 3 of the Namibian Constitution, everything out through the window. Now, you know that the more you push, especially in line with the, in line with the behavioral component, if you push the regulation line, you're going to end up, encroaching on people's rights, because, you can't regulate, first of all, you can't regulate, all your employer spending. I don't want my employer regulating my spending. Sorry, boss. I just don't want my boss calling me. So I see there's this website that you are regularly making money to. It has, it has the abbreviation OF. What does that mean? You see, you are ready. Now, that will be every lawmaker every time they go through our spending habits.
They will go like, so Dwight,
yeah. I see.
What's this thing that you do every Saturday at 8 o'clock in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
What's this Valve Corporation? I mean, what are you doing here, dude? I saw you pay for something known as a Steam Summer Deal, and then You're like, dude, that's my personal entertainment.
Yeah, don't.
My.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. So every time I would pay for a bunch of pixels that are shaped in a form of a sniper rifle, my boss would be calling me, like, so, seriously, dude?
And does he have time for such things?
No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Why?
Thank God he doesn't.
Why? No, but really, Hamoud, in economic space, in a commercial space, why would people be encumbered? No. Yeah, why would you be encumbered with redundant activity?
Not just that. These are adults.
I know these are adults, Hamoud. Yeah. It's a discussion of why would we need to go this far? Yes, the premise, the hypothesis by the MPs was, do the laws protect us? But now you have to ask the question of define protection.
Yeah.
And if you define protection, now you have to ask, okay, what are the laws that we have so far? There's a gap between microlending and the Credit Agreements Act. Because only certain businesses are mentioned in credit agreements, but the main aim is to try and update these things. Okay, so why did you take so long? But then what are you going to do about microlending? We don't know really, because we can only govern and regulate in Windhoek. Yeah. Huh? You can only govern and regulate in Windhoek?
Well, they did point out that they are working on a complementary technology to make their service delivery better.
Which sounds like a toothbrush and toothpaste, Hamoud.
Not just that. Have you noticed that at that point, first of all, that point was made with a straight face, knowing fully well our cybersecurity bill is...
It's non-existent.
Yeah, but it's going to...
Okay, it's not non-existent. It's somewhere.
Yeah, it's somewhere.
It's somewhere.
Somewhere. Our MPs are still looking for it.
Supposedly.
Yeah, still looking for it. And one day they're going to find it. So, yes, the regulatory component, especially when it comes to consumer, you know, consumer protection, that's a good idea. But, the consumer protection, that's a brilliant idea. The usury, you know, the usury in terms of regulating charges, usury act, brilliant idea. Microlending act, brilliant idea. Apart from the, apart from the financial education, civic education is also needed, because it's not unheard of. And there are a lot of people that, you know, there are a lot of people, especially, let me just say, there are a lot of people that know someone or heard of someone that runs a micro lending service that has some questionable, registry situations. And two, and the way, you know, they collect collect their clients' personal documents like ID, like ID and banking documents, which is against the, of which the Microlending Act is against, like your ID, your personal documents, your identification documents and banking documents are yours.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, I wouldn't be shocked if I ran into someone that, you know, that goes, you know what, I know someone that does that to their clients. Why? Because, well, how much does the client know about the Microlending Act? What does it say? What are the services that they use? What can they do and what can they not do? So, for the most part, we just show up, out of desperation, because we are hit with unforeseen circumstances, especially funerals, and I feel like we have over-commercialized funerals and weddings. Like, over-commercialized. And, we just go there and we just need the money.
And the food.
Yeah.
And the food.
This whole thing of eating nice food at my funeral.
I mean, it happens.
Yeah, unfortunately, it does.
Yeah, it does happen.
Yeah, that's why I like to say that to you. Look, if there's a heaven somewhere and people in heaven really do look down, those guys are in hell.
No. Let's hope so.
Look,
or the ones, the caterers, or the ones organizing the food.
No, look, I'm just saying, well, you're in heaven. And, you died, congratulations, you're in heaven. But when you look down, homeboy is comforting the sweetheart you left behind with Netflix, are you going to be happy or sad? And if you're going to be happy, makes sense why in heaven. But if you are sad, Angel Gabriel is like, I think we have the wrong person here. Your homie left behind chilling with Netflix and chilling with your girl is always my go-to, drive safe advice. Yeah. Because if you just go there and drive like Vin Diesel in the movie and you kick the bucket, oh no, we'll be here. When I show up at your funeral, I'm asking for Kapan. I didn't kill you. And it was a natural cause, so my friends must be so proud. Now,
Helmut.
Regulations.
Helmut.
Let's come back to regulations.
Helmut. We need prayer. Or not intervention, just prayer.
Did I mention I'm from a very religious family? They've tried, believe me, it didn't work. So we're going to need more.
Than just good old prayer.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, the regulation aspect is has a more like a questionable times in terms of protecting Namibians from drowning in debts. But let's just face the reality on the ground here. There is also a behavioral component, and that behavioral component falls solely in the hands of each individual Namibian. Now, I don't think there's any piece of legislation that will regulate that. And even if you came up with one, you'd end up invading their privacy, which, believe me, they are not going to like.
Yeah.
A point of correction on that last one. We are not going to like, because I'm in that bucket, because I don't want a regulatory authority going through my monthly shopping list just to tell me, no, don't buy that. Now buy this. Invasion of privacy 101. And that would be against the Constitution. And any piece of legislation that goes against the Constitution is what? Kick it out. So,
they could be deemed illegal even.
There are aspects that you can regulate. That they can regulate, especially in terms of this whole, ballooning, what's that term that's used? Ballooning, like a home ground discussion.
Ballooning home ground?
Ballooning home debt.
Household?
Yeah, household, that's the term I was looking for. Yeah, domestic ballooning household debt. Especially in the civil servants.
Yeah.
But the discussion was overall based on how to protect all Namibians, how to come up with better laws to protect all Namibians from household debt, public or private sector. Then they realized the laws are in place, yes. The laws are not understood by most consumers and not fully applied by most lenders. And also the law itself could use some touch up here and there. But also there's a component of the consumer themselves.
Mm.
Either not having enough, financial literacy, or having the financial literacy that they are not applying for a lot of reasons, either it's desperation or just, compulsiveness.
Yeah.
That's very broad.
Well, for a long time, we've been circling on the notion of what the customer has to do. Because we could see the customer was not being clear about what they need to understand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a reason why, Helmut, that things are put in words for us to go read. I'll say it again. For us to go read, go and understand. For example, when you have a receipt of something you just bought, sometimes read the backside of the receipt. For the South African shops, they usually put terms and conditions, return policy.
Yeah. I've seen the same with ATM receipts.
Yeah, some ATM receipts. Some.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the bank.
Mm-hmm.
But when you buy something, not when you go to the ATM to get your money, your money. when you buy something and you get a receipt, try to see just what term, weird terms and conditions they have.
The your return refund guarantees and everything.
All those things.
Yeah, or return refund conditions.
Exactly. And it's something that they just brought like that from South Africa. Go and try and look now at Namibian businesses who try to incorporate this level of sophistication. Because they tell you what your rights are under certain conditions and in the event of certain things happening. For example, you buy, let's say, an electronic device, Hamoud. You're walking out of the shop, Nothing happens to you, but immediately, just outside the door, you trip, you slip, the device gets broken.
Mm-hmm.
What rights do you have?
Physical damage? Oh, no, that's never going to be easy.
Exactly. Was there any particular immediate sort of like what they call that thing? A remedy for the customer to try and sort of like to be consoled for them suffering some sort of significant financial loss because they just brought the product, they just bought it, they just walked out, they slipped and they fell, the thing broke, they didn't get to enjoy the product yet. Well, how do you as the business, you know,
remedy that situation?
Remedy it or approach it? Do you have any stake in it? Are you liable for anything?
Or you made it clear and the receipt that they collect that anything happens to the product, you're not liable.
Outside of it. You know, does any of this, did you communicate anything in any format?
Yeah.
Now, that's the level of discussion to try and look at how waterproof you as a business need to be in the event of what-if scenarios. That's where the Credit Agreements Act comes in. For example, a Credit Agreements Act cannot be legal if you signed it at home. Did you guys know that? Did you know that? Lovely thing. Second scenario also.
If you did, congratulations. Sharing is caring.
Yeah. If spread the word. You were still liable because you already signed. You were supposed to say no. And then there's obviously also the defense of things, meaning that those lovely, what do they call those guys? Not the debt collector guys. Yeah, the debt collectors are the loophole in the micro-lending space. That's what the NAMFISA guys highlighted. The operation in existence of debt collection companies in Namibia are literally a loophole between the Credit Agreements Act and the Micro-Lending Act. Imagine that.
So it's them and your grocery and the retail stores that are now playing the role of micro-lending.
And this is all to make money move. This is all to make money move. Yes, even through credit. Because credit helps the goods move. The goods have a financial value. So money is still moving. There's no bartering system taking place.
Thank God.
So yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating thing when you look at it. The downside is, how do the other Namibians respond to it?
I'm still trying to wrap my mind around how you, how to regulate the behavioral component.
You can't.
I'm still going to go with you can't.
You cannot, Helmut. And I'm really sorry.
And that's going to be a big aspect of that. I think the lawmakers are going to I basically have to say they have realized by now that irrespective of what legislations that are going to be put in place to regulate the consumer space in terms of any type of lending, whether large scale or small. The behavioral component is, there's a limit. That's the limit that they just can't cross, not without violating the very, the rights of the very same people they're trying to protect.
Exactly. Which is also a scenario about truly understanding the question that these MPs came to this conversation with. Why? Because it looked like, now that I think about it, the MPs literally came for, they came to fish without knowing what they're going to get. They didn't know what kind of fish they're getting. Why did I say this? Well, Hamid, at the back of my mind, I was also just walking in as a blank, someone with a completely open mind. Let's observe. Let's just see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And to understand that the main discussion around protection of customers in the financial sector is, how does this look per sector? Now, there's the reason why I mentioned the consumer protection unit from the old Ministry of Industrialization and Trade.
Mm.
It's because that protection unit was busy championing the consumer protection bill. But here with Namfisa, we're hearing now about the consumer credit bill. Now, why couldn't we just have had a consolidation once again of legislation?
The first question, which I am borrowing from the infinite wisdom of the Office of the Auditor General, did those two bills even know each other's existence?
Did the two entities even know of each other's existence?
Good question.
So we are sitting with a discussion on where are we going? What is this looking like? And primarily, when is this siloed operation of things going to happen? Even though the MPs literally came to fish because they wanted to know, okay, what laws are going to be put forward? What explanations are going to come?
It was a good fishing, though.
It was a good fishing strategy. Yeah. However, the fishing strategy has a major problem. You see, Helmut, Bank of Namibia is technically the lead agency in this discussion. Why?
Yeah, they're the regulatory body.
Yeah. They are in charge of the protection of anything money and banking.
Yeah.
Namfisa comes automatically second.
Yeah.
Because Namfisa has to try and look at products designed around money. Not the movement of money.
Mm-hmm.
Products designed around money. So in this consideration or in this particular, when you position it and you show it to a concerned person, is that Bank of Namibia has its laws. I mean, Bank of Namibia's people even answer the question of when it was asked about scamming and, you know, which was another phishing question. Yeah, how do you prevent scamming? And then the guy from Bank of Namibia was like, but much of our research from the commercial banks highlight that it's because the customers share a PIN.
Behavioral component.
Give away a e-wallet SMS or do this and do that.
There's nothing the bank can do for them.
And then they get robbed by people they know. I'll tell you another example, Hamoud. And this, you'll even get angry for what happened to you. My sister worked with she knew a person. She didn't work with a person. She one day spoke to the person. She observed what this person was doing. The person kept giving her colleague her bank card every time and asked this colleague, listen, please go in, withdraw this for me and withdraw that and go pay this for me. This is a colleague that you're asking from to take, that you're giving your bank card. Please go do these following actions for me with my money and my bank account. Here's my PIN. And then one day, this colleague actually stole from this lady who kept, you know, asking him to do these things on her behalf. Now, I asked my sister, you know, from what you could establish, did this person have a demanding job that they couldn't do these things themselves? So they couldn't be in charge of their own financial situation?
Yeah.
The answer I got was, I also didn't know. I asked, but it just looked dodgy. I didn't interfere. You know, another individual won't just interfere in another in someone else's business.
Yeah.
So when the action of the theft happened, the theft, nah, remember she gave him his bank. She gave her bank card to him, her colleague. And he withdrew extra for himself without asking. He just felt like he wanted some more.
Little overdraft.
Yeah. And she saw it, and she was now mad, and she came to complain, and the question that was asked her was, why did you do it in the first place?
Yeah.
Why did you do this?
That's a lot of trust.
And then the next question that apparently was asked was, are you and this colleague sharing Smarties, one way or another? Yeah, I had to use
that. Almost asked the same question.
Are you sharing Smarties? Is that why you're giving your bank card to him? And then the person became angry. Now, when you look at these realities on the ground, Helmut, and these are realities happening on the ground between the Namibians.
Which would be difficult to regulate.
These are not the realities coming to this standing committee.
Mm.
This is not the questions the standing committee is even asking. How do you regulate people to people? Because what did the Namfisa guy tell the one MP? Look, we can't regulate arm's length or no arm's length based negotiations, which is literally when you borrow your brother money.
Yeah.
Or when
how do you regulate that? Because he, well, it's, first of all, how often do you do it?
Do you set up contracts between you and your brother every time when he comes to ask for money? No. What would that mean when you do this? Are you going to start a fight with your sibling?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to? No. So it's these kinds of relationships that Namfisa themselves answered and said, listen, we don't want to deal into that stuff. That'll be cumbersome. That'll just lead to unnecessary
headaches. Impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to just quickly escape and leave you guys with Dwight here. Until tomorrow, from me, I have a pregnancy to go and deny. Just kidding. I'm a fully grown man. I don't play those games. We just show up and say, eish, another expenses. Yo.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you. Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM. So we come back, yes, guys, and just as Helmut has left us here, specifically for the last couple of minutes, I almost said seconds, we obviously have and just before the next ad break actually catches up on me, we actually have an interesting particular, I'll call it a middle point to recognize. Said middle point is the point of where do you actually try to regulate things? And remember, this is just, like I said, a big fishing exercise that took place back on Friday. And obviously it was the standing committee trying to understand from the relevant government agencies and ministries what is in place, what exists already, what, according to these ministries and agencies, is the current situation in the Namibian landscape. So, it's technically not rocket science. It's also a scenario of asking the question in terms of, okay, so under what particular consideration, based upon the question of, are the laws up to date enough to protect Namibians or to provide protection to Namibians? The questions you have to ask yourself is, under what circumstances would you need protection for? Dear listeners, the subject matter of a contract of purchase and sale is a straightforward engagement. The subject matter of a contract of purchase and sale is based upon you first have to establish the essentials. Identify the item, identify the price, and identify the participants to this transaction. If you know who is the buyer and who is the seller, usually with the scammer, you don't know who's the seller. And then they will be trying to look for someone identified as a
they definitely use a different word that starts with an S, but they would be looking for a lamb to the slaughter. I'm using a phrase even worse, but literally that's what they'll be looking for, a sacrificial lamb. Someone that falls into that trap is gullible enough to believe all the particular manure that they are spouting, and then they take your money without giving you anything of equal value. Now, in that particular scenario, obviously you would identify, or you would have the labels of scammer, thief, charlatan, what's the other word? Con man, con woman, you know, all those particular labels. But already what exists, even though the legislation seems to be a little bit outdated, is straightforward. And it is straightforward because the relevant agencies and ministries have realized you just build upon what is already there. Remember, they started from the Usury Act. The Usury Act then had a installation known as, on top of it, known as the Credit Agreements Act. And the Credit Agreements Act now has the Microlending Act on top of it. They have to cascade in that flow from usury to microlending with credit in the middle. Now credit, or the Credit Agreements Act, has generated profound revenue for the South Africans. It was a mechanism by which you are selling goods similarly to a cash-based sale or business template. But this is more hybrid. Then you get the higher purchase scenarios. Then you get the lay-by scenario, because higher purchase is a little bit different than the lay-by, as what I, to myself, had also understood in terms of interacting with various retailers, selling various products, not similar products in many cases, is that higher purchase and lay-by have, they are nuanced, but they're technically the same thing. In essence, they're the same thing. But at the end of the day, the most important point that still stands out is you. Yes, you. 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 Right there, you. Not me. Okay, probably me included, but you. You have to read the engagements, the contracts, the information that is given to you. You have to understand what is being told to you, and you have to look at all that information and make decisions based upon it. That's it. Straightforward stuff. Any agents that represent the businesses that you are trying to source products or stuff from, they are acting on behalf of their employer. That's just straightforward. But before we continue, guys, we quickly take a short break. Velvetia University for the 2026 July applications that are now open for the Faculty of Health Sciences for the Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing, Level 8. Admission requirements for candidates are as follows. Have a recognized nursing qualification at NQF Level 7 or higher from any recognized higher learning institution. Candidates must be a registered nurse or a midwife with the Nursing Council of Namibia or the HBCNA. Candidates must have a minimum of 2 years working experience as a nurse or midwife in any health facility, and candidates must be able to write a short essay describing the motivation for pursuing the postgraduate diploma in community health nursing. Qualification duration is 1 year. Mode of delivery is full-time. For more information, please call 081-403-6406, Velvetia University, where everyone is an achiever. Now, as we come back from that short break, and before we say our goodbyes for this evening's session of the Home Run, specifically, and just before the business and economic segment take over, it is a pretty straightforward scenario to look into. Yes, it's still early days, because obviously we have to understand what report will come from this standing committee. The nice particular template here has been that it was a fact-finding mission. I obviously call it a fishing mission. And questions were asked. The consideration, which is a little bit of a disappointing scenario, has been level of enforcement that is not, you know, at an adequate level. You could say, using tools or smart technologies doesn't really cut it, because you'd have to extensively market this particular, these particular tools. I'm saying market it, meaning you must have an advertising budget for these things. And then lastly on that is a notion in terms of informing. I'll say it again, to inform. It is a pivotal, action in the broader scope of commercial activity. You need to inform, and you need to regularly promote or communicate what you are doing. It's straightforward stuff. Truly straightforward stuff. The worst particular thing that you could ever envisage is if someone enters into an agreement and they didn't know their rights, or they didn't know anything beforehand, and no one spent time trying to explain it. Before you sign this, remember this, or read that. But it's also not anyone else's job to do that, because no one is being paid for that scenario to be championed. That is the other sort of like heartbreaking scenario. Now, on that note, dear listeners, it does bring us up to the end for this evening's Home Run. Do enjoy the rest of your programming in our company. We are battling down to the last few days of April. I do hope you guys had been enjoying, you know, specifically how the Strait of Hormuz had been going on. The block plus block equals an unblock, which I still don't know how that math makes sense. But we will see each other again, same time, same place, tomorrow afternoon, here on your number one talk radio station. Do enjoy the rest of the programming in our company, and stay tuned.